one thing if God just gave his law and a thundering voice from heaven and it was all judgment. He'd be right to do that. He'd be right to do that today. He'd be right to cast us all into hell. It's quite a different thing if he gave his eternal son to come down here and assume human nature to live this for us, to bear these burdens, to experience the Christ, to learn obedience, save us, and then pass back up in the heavens and say, it's open for you, come to me. If he went through all that, it's time to not be unbelieving, but believing.
Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We are back in Hebrews chapter 4 as we consider the invitation to the throne of grace. Now, this invitation comes through warnings, actually. It looks pretty severe, but God is getting us to the right place with more on that. Here's Pastor Chris, today's program.
Many ministries become angry ways to deal with people's sins. If you ever look at the old movies of the American West and the preachers out they had the cowboy hats on. I don't wear that. But those preachers would pound and yell at the people for their alcoholism. Woe to you! That ever win anyone? A true servant called by God knows that we're weak too. Sure, there's a standard for ministry. Don't hear me wrong. There's a standard for righteousness. There's a standard for the pastoral ministry, standard for the priesthood. But pastors and priests and all those all are subject to the same weaknesses and the same limitations and the same sins. And because of that, we look at what you're going through with great compassion. If we're realistic about ourselves, we recognize our sins need to be forgiven. And when we see our failures and frailties in lives as pastors, which I'm convinced God chooses the most weak as pastors, we never talk like that, but I'm convinced of it. It should make us have great compassion on you. We need forgiveness. This is why God got angry at Moses when he struck the rock. Because Moses didn't hallow the name of the Lord, and he was furious at the people for their sins, and that's what kept him out. And God was sending a powerful lesson. Because we haven't taken this calling to ourselves, is his point. Verse 3, God has called us to this. God called priests to this. I'm trying to tie it together to the current context to understand how this shows. What's the problem in ministry? Well, what has he just said? Come near to me. Come near to me. What do we want to do with God? Stay away. Why? Well, some in the first century were saying Jesus is aloof. Jesus is apathetic. Jesus doesn't care about us. Look at all the suffering and hardship we're in. You know, it doesn't, there's no power in this. And there's got to be more power in the old. But what's the real issue here? Well, verse 13, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. It's been rightly said by one pastor that there's a paralyzing fear that everyone has of God. And we won't pray to him and run to him unless we're forced by the circumstances. Some people, this is their entire approach to the church, is this. The reality is they try to stay as far away from God as they can and keep him at a distance. It feels safe. If we can keep God over there and I can be here and practice my religion without intrusion, And I can be left alone. That seems like a better deal for me. You ever met anyone who keeps you at a distance? It's really hard to get close to them. They just won't let you in. They won't let you get close. The relationship is just not one you can break into. I've met all kinds of people like this in the course of ministry. You can't get there. You cannot get there. That is exactly our problem with God. We see it even in an approach to worship. Why is this such a battle? It's, we'll pay big bucks for the front seat at the concert. But when it comes to worship, I'm not talking about seating arrangements here, really. That's not my goal. Distance. Many of you think God is just unrelatable and distant and far from you, and you think of him as somebody who's erratic, and you never really quite know what he's going to do or how he quite feels about you. Is he against us? And a lot of people have related to him that way. They really don't know him yet. What did Adam and Eve do after the fall? The first thing they did was run as far away from God as they could. And all the shame that they bore in life, they wanted to take on trying to cover it themselves and bear it themselves. All the pain of that, all the sorrow of that, all the misery of that. And they tried to cover themselves with their own fig leaves. There was a dread of God, as this pastor says, on the conscience. That's how many Christians feel in their relationship with God, he says. You have a paralyzing fear in your life, and the solution is just to avoid him, to get away from him. And that is seen in your absence of desire to talk to him and to come to the throne of grace. Now, how do you combat that problem? This is what the author is doing here. You understand the comparison now. If the high priest had compassion on the people because he related to them and could have sympathy for them because he struggled with them, what conclusion does the author draw? That's the marvel of this comparison. He wants us to be blown away by the disposition of Jesus to us. Verse 5, so also Jesus did not glorify himself to become high priest. This wasn't something that, we'll get there in just a second, Philippians 2 mindset. He didn't selfishly cling on to that great status and grab on to this selfishly. What kind of priest was he? When he took the office of high priest, think about this, as we celebrate him as our eternal high priest, we'll look at the whole disposition that the author wants to capture for us is that this one was completely humble. And when he came submitting himself to a mission, and that mission was to seek and to save that which is lost. And he wants you to marvel at that great truth in the incarnation. Again, from Philippians 2, that he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a slave, coming in the likeness of a man, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Hebrews has that in mind, and now he works with the inner disposition of Jesus. What was he like? Well, what do we see from Jesus as our high priest? He's walking around one day and he looks out at the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, Matthew 9. What has so gripped the author in thinking about Jesus as our true high priest is that in humbly submitting to the mission that he came on to fulfill the Father's will in that great covenant, the author wants to make clear that he was without sin in doing this. But the point of the comparison is this. If you've believed in him and you've entered him and you've entered that rest, he's not angry with you anymore. The wrath of God has been propitiated, satisfied. He's not up in heaven ranting and raving and off the handle and even trying to calm down the Father against you. It was the Father's great love that he gave his Son for you. When you sin, running from him misunderstands him. He's like that Old Testament priest because he came here and now he'll say who he is, so you don't want to go back to that. He came here and he identified with you and he knows your struggles and he knows the weaknesses. He knows you go astray. He knows you're ignorant. And the author says he knows your struggle by experience. Why? How could he say that? Because he came down here. And he lived all these temptations himself for you. Notice verse 7. In the days of his flesh, he spent his time doing what? Praying. And those prayers were with, notice the language here, vehement. It's an old word, cries and tears. He had a weight on him that we would never have to face. He had to endure the wrath of God on the cross for your sins. He had to carry the burden of faithfully fulfilling the law the whole moment of his incarnation. Talk about overwhelming stress in his humanity. And Hebrews makes an overwhelming statement. Though he was the divine Son, yet in his humility, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. What he's saying is something very simple and profound. Jesus is not disconnected from you. He actually lived this. And experientially, in his own life, when he walked on this earth, he suffered and he prayed and he learned obedience. It was the will. Now, again, no sin. That's the great news here. In the days of his humiliation, he lived for you. He was tested. He was tempted. He was tried. All the same temptations, all the same burdens you face. He spent hours in prayer crying. You ever think of him that way? Burdened in his soul over what he had to do. He looked at death and he looked at Lazarus and he wept. All that. Author of Hebrews says qualified him. Now think of the comparison. They had compassion because of their weakness, but they were with sin. He's without sin. And yet, he has great compassion because he went under all of this for you and lived it for you. And then he passed back up in the heavens and he was seated. And the author grabs his favorite quote here in the book of Hebrews, Psalm 110, when he says, "Today, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. You are a priest." He connects it, a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the divine son, and this is your eternal priest. And what's the point? What has God been like to us? Well, how is he able to have compassion? He's explaining the greatest privilege you have today to come into the throne of grace for help. In other words, he's saying, stop running. Come to me. It's time to stop. Stop doubting. Stop having a hard heart to me. Stop drifting. It's time to wake up out of sleep, he says to the drifting. If you're doubting, he says, it's time to come to me in faith. Some of us are still like Adam and Eve, trying to sow our own fig leaves. Without Jesus, we have nothing. And he says in verse 15, why? Because we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. It would be one thing if God just gave his law and a thundering voice from heaven and it was all judgment. He'd be right to do that. He'd be right to do that today. He'd be right to cast us all into hell. He could say, I'm angry with you. I'm done with you. You're like a stupid sheep. You keep doing the same stupid sins and you never stop. It's quite a different thing if he gave his eternal son to come down here and assume a human nature to live this for us, to bear these burdens, to experience the Christ, to learn obedience, save us, and then pass back up in the heavens and say, it's open for you, come to me. If he went through all that, it's time to not be unbelieving, but believing. You see how important the invitation is to the throne of grace? He gave an incredible promise of help to you, mercy accompanied with grace for whatever is testing, whatever he is testing you with. That's what they haven't understood. They've looked at the tests all wrongly. Whatever he's testing you with, then he invites you to trust and to talk to him and to cast the burdens. And you know, this is the promise of this text. He is actually going to help you. You have direct privilege to come in prayer right to the throne of grace, cast your burdens. And he's giving a word of promise. People couldn't do this in the old covenant, by the way. They were kept far. You can. What in the world is wrong with these first century Christians? Oh, they're looking at the world and they're looking at the state of things and they're suffering and they're facing hardships and they want to give up. And they're denying their confession. And that draws the important conclusion today. You're either running away from the confession or you're embracing it in faith. And why would you not run to a compassionate God like this who is able to give you mercy for all of your sins and grace in times of need? But I know the struggle. I understand the struggle. He understands the struggle. I've said this before, if you've grown up in this all your life, it's so easy to play the religion game. And to come to church, to do our deeds to be seen. But as Jesus said, people draw near to him with their mouths, but their hearts are far from him. And today he wants your heart. Come to me with boldness. Talk to me. You talk to him. He is able to help. He's able to give you mercy. He desires to give it. The greatest thing he wants is you to have confidence. Whoever says you can't have confidence in this life has not read the scriptures. And he wants you to enjoy it. And he wants you to live in that peace. And there's one little phrase I'll close with I don't want you to miss. When he was praying and he was crying and suffering because he had perfect godly fear, he was heard. There's an interesting statement there. God heard him. And the Father heard him and answered him by raising him from the dead and seating him over all principalities and powers, in a perfect and complete obedience that's been given for you. Having been perfected, he's become, notice this, the author of eternal salvation. Who's the author? Who's the finisher? He's going to say later. He's the author and finisher. He's the author, he introduces now, of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's saying all who come and believe and trust in him. And he promises to hear you. In all the trials and afflictions on our days on this earth, do you believe that God is for you? and that you have a merciful high priest in heaven who is constantly willing and able to help you. Don't lose heart in the struggle, beloved. That's what he would have said in the first century. Why are you losing heart in the struggle? Don't turn away from Jesus. Run to him. Come to him. He's sympathetic. He's gracious. He's compassionate with you. He knows every failure and frailty and weakness and stupidity and things that you do. And he's saying, come here. Talk to me about it. I'll forgive you and help you and wash you. He is a gracious and compassionate and merciful high priest and worthy to believe and to trust in this wilderness life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a gracious word to us today of help in a book that has challenged us to not be like unbelieving Israel, but believing. Thank you for calling us to prayer, as we will consider again tonight. The great privilege to talk to our Heavenly Father, to cast our burdens and know that you will bear and carry them, and that we have this kind of sympathetic God who loves us this way. It's so good, it's hard. So hard, O Lord, it seems too good to be true. And yet you call us to faith. You call us to believe. You call us to trust you. May we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, for we know that his sheep will hear that voice and follow him and come to him and talk to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Well, as we conclude our time together today and close the week out, we look forward to Monday's program. We move into Chapter 5 of the Book of Hebrews, Sermonettes for Christianettes. With a sneak peek, here's Pastor Chris once again.
The goal of this is growth. The goal of this is to pull you out of that thinking. And isn't that a wonderful thing? That's a good motivating thing he's doing for you, to pull you out of what the church culture often pulls us into. Therefore, let as much of us, as Lewis says, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, the resurrection of dead and eternal judgment. What he's saying there is those are foundational doctrines that we're growing in. Repentance and faith toward God and he's talking about justification. And then he's talking about sanctification, spoke of the practices that speak of the coming of the Spirit, and then resurrection and final judgment. Those are core truths to our faith that we grow in the Scriptures. And we press on in the Scriptures. And we build on them. And we mature in them. And our minds grow in them.
That's on Monday. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.